This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Al-Qadir is mentioned in the Quran 45 times. And Al-Qadir is mentioned in the Quran 12 times. In over 30 verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something to the variety of Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Verily Allah is able to do all things. Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. And Allah is able to do all things. Sometimes the thing that we want becomes so distant that we find ourselves not making dua for it anymore. And sometimes that thing that we don't want becomes so present, becomes so powerful, that illness, that poverty, that we find ourselves not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove it anymore. Al-Qadir is a name that inspires us. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able, it is a name that is a key to every other name, just like Al-Mujib is, because it inspires us to continue to ask and to never stop asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's not only able to do some things, but He is able to do all things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith that's reported by Muslim, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا على صعيد واحد, that if the first of you and the last of you and the jinn of you and the human of you all stood up on a single plane, and every single one of us, the first human being to the last, all of us stood on that plane and we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our wildest imaginations, that would not take away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, except like a needle would take from the ocean if it was dipped into it. And so how could you not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then? You know, I was once walking in Central Park in New York City with Sheikh Waleed Bassouni. And the apartments that are overlooking Central Park are like some of the most beautiful and valuable real estate in the city. And so I was just walking with him and I was showing him the apartments. And he goes to me and he goes, Ammar, would you like an apartment overlooking Central Park? And I was like, sure, Sheikh. Like, I mean, who wouldn't want something like that? So then while we're in the park, he just stops and he starts making passionate dua. Oh Allah, give Ammar an apartment overlooking Central Park. And so when he was done, I mean, what else was I going to say? I said, Ameen. And then we kept walking. And then he stopped. And then he goes, Ammar, when you said Ameen, did you really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to give you an apartment overlooking Central Park? And I said to him, to be honest, Sheikh, no, I didn't. And he goes, that's why you're not going to get it. So the idea here is why not? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qadir, and Allah is able to do, and Allah gave lots of people apartments overlooking Central Park, why not me? It's the same Allah, He's the same provider, right? It's not like those people who have apartments did it out of their own accord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for them, so why not provide for me? Al-Qadir is a name that's considered a key to every other name. Why? Because you don't ask someone for something except that you believe that that person is actually able to provide it for you or to do it for you. No matter how distant it becomes, if you still want it, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. You know, the first time I met Sheikh Ridwan Saleh in Houston, he ushered me into his office and he started telling me his, you know, part of his story. And in passing, he mentions, you know, my mom and she lives in Medina. And then he goes on and I go, hold on a second. You can't just move off from this topic. Like, your mom lives in Medina? I don't know anybody whose mom lives in Medina. Like, how does that happen? And he goes, oh man. And he starts shaking his head and he goes, let me tell you something. Growing up, my mom, she raised them, single mother. His father passed away, rahimahullah. His mother raised them, and he said, my mom's constant dua was, oh Allah, allow me to live in Medina. He said, we grew up thinking that's one of the adhkar you're supposed to make after the salah. Oh Allah, allow us to live in Medina. He said, when we got older, you know, teenagers, you start to push back on your parents a little bit. So we used to kind of gang up on my mom and say, you know, you're not gonna live in Medina. And she would always say to us, leave me alone. Is it too big for Allah? A kabira ala Allah? And he said, my mom had a fourth grade education, but she knew more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than all of us. Fast forward a number of decades. Now they've grown up, they have their own families. And he said, on one occasion, one of his brothers said, I'm gonna move to Sudan. I'm gonna move my family to Sudan. And his mom immediately says, I'm going too. And they go, mom, what are you talking about? You know, healthcare is very poor there. You need, you know, she's advanced in age now. She needs her doctor, she needs her. And she goes, no, don't worry. I'm not gonna live in Sudan. I'm going to Medina. I just need to get a little bit closer. And so they get to Sudan and she's telling her son, she's telling his brother, you know, we need to go do Umrah. We need to go do Umrah. And so they go. And she's getting closer to Medina. And when she gets to Jeddah airport, for whatever reason, their visas were no good. And the person at passport control was so aggressive. He was very mean. And he told them, he said, if it wasn't for the fact that this lady is so old, I would have put you on the first flight back. And so he said that his mother went off to the side and she just started making passionate dua, so close. And then, not even an hour later, the same guy came back and he apologized to them And he said, you know, I talked to a couple of people and they said, you know, she's already here. She's so elderly. And he just stamped their visas and he said, enjoy your Umrah. And he's telling me this story and he said, my mother never went back. For the rest of her life, she stayed in Medina and she stayed with relatives. And it wasn't long before, you know, within 2 years, we got the news of her having passed away in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on her and have mercy on all of our parents who have passed away. But what I love about this story is that even though every year her story is becoming more distant, her goal is becoming more distant, her dream is becoming more distant, she's becoming more entrenched, she's got grandchildren, she's got family, it's all in the United States. But whenever anybody would try to tell her, you know, this dream of yours, you have to let go of, she would simply say, leave me alone. Is it too big for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it's not, then just leave me and my Lord. And there are lots of stories with Al-Qadir, and I'm sure that some of you are going to share some amazing stories as well. But Shaykh Muhammad al-Sharif, rahimahullah, he would tell this story a lot. And when he had gotten married, for the first 8 years, he didn't have children. And, you know, that becomes something. Year after year, he's going to Hajj, he's going to Umrah, he's making a lot of dua, Ramadans, Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjuds, Laylatul Qadr, right? All of that. You're making dua for children, and every year it's not happening. And so eventually he got to the point where he reached a crossroads and he said, you know, not everybody's destined for children. Maybe it's not written for me. And so I can live a very fulfilled life not having children. Maybe I should just stop making dua for this and start focusing on other things. And then he thought to himself, he said, no, I am not. And this became his slogan. He said, I'm not going to lower my standards. I'm going to raise my dua. So before my dua was, you know, Allah grant me children, I'm going to turn up the volume, I'm going to turn the full color, increase the passion, everything. And so fast forward a period of time, and him and his wife are on a flight, and they're going to Umrah, or they're going to Hajj, and the entire airplane is filled with pilgrims. So I'm assuming that it's Hajj. And he said the plane fell out of the air, and everybody's screaming on the plane. And he said that when the plane leveled out, alhamdulillah, they were safe. Eventually, when they landed, and he was far away from his wife, they weren't sitting next to each other. So when it was safe and everybody got to where they were going, he said, until today, I never take that airline, rahimahullah ta'ala. But he said, I asked my wife and I said to her, when that plane was falling, what did you say? And so he said that his wife said, in that moment, I asked for a child. And you think to yourself like, okay, plane is falling. What could possibly inspire a person in that moment to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child? But Ibn al-Qayyim has something very beautiful that he says. He says that if you find yourself making dua for something, then in that moment you should be happy because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not inspire you to ask except because He wanted to give you. Allah didn't inspire you to ask except because He wanted to give you. There are many people who are broke, they're never inspired to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enrich them. There are many people who are sick, they're never inspired to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal them. There are many people who go through all sorts of problems and they will knock on the door of everybody, but they're not inspired to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Umar ibn al-Khattab, he says, إِنِّي لَا أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الْإِجَابَةِ وَلَكِنِّي أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الدُّعَى. I'm not concerned about the response. I'm concerned about whether I make dua. So she makes dua in that moment for a child. You already know what to expect. When they come back from their trip, they're at the doctor's office, and the doctor says to them, congratulations, your wife is pregnant. And he said that his wife, she said, that can't be. After years of disappointment, you've got that shield. She says, no, it can't be. And Sheikh Muhammad, rahimahullah, he said to her, I said to her what the angels said to Sarah, أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Are you amazed at the command of Allah? And so, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with many children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look over them as He looks over the children of the righteous. Allahumma ameen. I share these stories with you, and there are many stories, because we are dealing with a Lord who is not only generous, not only loving, but loves to hear from us, and He loves to grant. But it all starts with not lowering your standards and raising your dua, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qadir. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to have mercy on Shaykh Muhammad and all of our teachers who have passed away. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this blessed month of Ramadan, that He grants us what we ask Him for. Allahumma ameen.